Good afternoon, Mr. Schwab. Who's on to?
Vinny's on.
Hey, Vinny.
Sheila's on.
Hi, Sheila.
Hello. Trying to be a little late.
Okay. Is that going to be us then? Or should we start?
We have, do we have Kay and Steven?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yep.
And Vinny, so I guess we can start, yeah.
Okay. Is that Steven?
It is.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Anybody else? To you up. It's going to be a little delayed. Is that right, Sheila?
Is Kay here?
I'm here.
Thank God I can relax.
Anyway, well, welcome. Let's get some questions out of the way if we can. What's on your mind? And how was the week?
I'll be quiet, Kay. You talk.
Why?
That'll be better.
Yeah. Well, we still have a lot of work to do to schedule the monthly calls, so we're trying to get better at that.
Basically, what we're up against here, Rob, just so you know, is I have a sales assistant who's effectively retired, but she's going to be here until she terminates. And after 28 years, I really can't push her. So I'm operating with one hand tied behind my back. I've got a new person coming in January.
Okay.
So all the creation of files and stuff like that that would normally be done by a sales assistant are going to have to be done by the new guy when he gets here in January.
So, Well, I think you're being very accommodated.
Oh, I'm teasing Joanne because she's just there on the phone. Joanne's here. Say hi, Joe. But I'm behind on those.
Your
father. No, it's Joanne's trying to do what she's doing, and I can't expect anybody to do this because Sheila's doing what we have one shortage, which is Robert is normally helping up there. So Robert's out. Joanne's trying to get what she can get done before she leaves here, and then we've got the year end stuff too.
Okay. So how much do you have done? how many folders have you, how many clients have signed up? None or 20 or?
Probably 12.
Done and scheduled and on the schedule?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, that's not bad. At least you get... The idea is to get the feel for it, to see what it's like so that you can get in the groove. You know, it's obviously it's easier to get in the groove with a smaller number. How are you doing on agendas and executive summaries?
On the what in the executive summaries?
Agendas.
Oh, the agendas, that's fine.
Good, okay. And the executive summaries are going okay, too?
When you say the executive summary, are you just talking about us documenting the meeting and the call after the fact?
Yes, and sending it to the client.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, we're doing that.
Oh, great, okay. So, I mean, those are hard things to get... to do. I mean, most, it's very hard to change. That's a lot of behavioral change. So So to get that working is great. I mean, even with 12 clients, it's great. It's just a matter of time then. It's not a matter of, you know, does this work? Is this a good idea? I don't like this or any of that. As long as you're on board, it's just a matter of time doing it then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
How about getting to the right number of clients? How are you doing with that?
We're doing okay.
Well, I don't know that we haven't really shifted any clients out.
Right. So we lost one of our biggest accounts, but that was not because we wanted to.
Yeah, that's not good. That's why we do Supernova, to not have that out. So how many clients do you have now, and how many will be on the system?
I think we picked out, what, 60? Okay.
No, it was more than that. It was like 70 of the top. That was on the top tier that we definitely wanted to get, you know, on the program and going. And then there was sort of a second tier. But because, you know, I think, you know, we had some questions about capacity, about how many clients each advisor could sort of handle. And we came to, you know, between 70 and 100. So between Stephen and I, we should be able to handle, right, close to 200 relationships.
No.
Is that right?
150.
Theoretically, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that depends on whether, you know, it requires both of us to do each call, or, you know, you do some calls and I do other calls, and we're sort of trying to figure that out as we go, I think.
So, if you did 200, how many would that leave that were not covered?
I think zero, because, you know, wait, if we got to how many?
200. 100 for you.
I don't want to have 200 clients.
I understand. If you did it, so it, basically there are 200 clients in play is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, probably.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, so you need to reassign 50.
Yeah. I would say that's true.
Okay. And you shouldn't both be on the calls for, unless it's an unusual situation, you should handle your own calls.
Well, I think the situation is that, you know, for the past year, Stephen has been trying to introduce me into his client relationships. So typically we've done those meetings together, but I think I've pretty much met or spoken to the vast majority of them now, right, Stephen?
Yep.
So we could start to sort of divide and conquer.
Yeah, the more you can move this along, always the better, right? I mean, it sounds like you made that decision. It's a good decision. Let's get that going. Let's get rid of the 50 clients. It'd be nice to start the new year with the right number of clients and have them, you know, have you guys at least know what you want and what you want to do.
Hey, Rob, this is Vinny. I've got a question if I could interject.
Yep.
So is it okay, and I ended up doing this way by default because I only knew really one element of this program a year and a half ago, and that was the idea of a scheduled call. So is it okay if you're starting out in this program to do this in a layering pattern, if you will? So the first thing you do is go about the business of getting them scheduled and accustomed to the idea of a monthly call with maybe one or two other elements like an agenda and an executive summary after the call. and then introduce the idea of the folder system? Or is it better, if they're starting out, to do the call, the agenda, and the executive summary, and the folder, and introduce all of that stuff all in one fell swoop, which obviously would then be, I think, a longer process and take a longer time to get everybody scheduled? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, it's a good question. The answer is you don't need to take any more time, and you should introduce all the elements at once.
Okay.
It is not any harder to tell them that this is your folder and this is where the agenda goes. This is where you take notes. This is information about us. That doesn't really, that takes an extra 3 minutes, all right? Welcome. So I would suggest doing all three. Now, if you're going to say to me, we want to introduce financial planning to every client, I would say, don't do that. You'll overwhelm yourself.
Right. So there are some core elements of this that should be introduced as a package. The things we talked about, executive summary, agenda, scheduled call, the folder system. Any other piece of that that should be part of the initial introduction?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm late to the game on that. I got everybody scheduled last summer, but now I'm going through these calls and I'm starting to introduce these other elements. So the scheduling part's been done. I just need to do this other stuff.
Part of the same conversation, but now you can say, because you did it that way, it's fine. I mean, you can now take more time with the folder and explain the folder and each piece of the folder and how they're going to get an agenda. And if you have any questions on the agenda and you want to add something to the agenda, then add it to it and send it back to me. And then we'll discuss that when we talk. And then I'm going to send you an agenda, an executive summary, just like we would with the board of directors. And if there's anything on there that you disagree with, just like the minutes from a meeting, let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, from a compliance point of view, from a compliance point of view, that particular executive summary and their commitment to it, meaning they agree with what you said, takes care of one of the big issues that, occasionally will raise its head is I say, you say. So if they agree that that's what you both said by accepting the minutes as read, you're good. You'll never have a problem with I say, you say.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate
that. Yeah, so that's a good piece. Steve, any other questions?
Yeah, one of the things that we bump into naturally is, well, I don't need that monthly call. And so there, one solution that Kay has provided is to send people an email summary of what they would have heard on an agenda meeting. And the other that I've suggested is, we've got this guy who, interestingly, is a former CFO himself and arguably one of the most boring people on the planet. I guess the only person who could be more boring would be an actuary. But he doesn't want to have a meeting. And I said to Kay, I said, what I'll do is I'll call him every month at let's say the third Thursday at 2:00. I'm just going to call him every month at that time. I'm not going to give him the benefit of an agenda, but I'm going to get him into the habit because he's going to die. His wife is going to survive him and she will work with Kay because, I'll be dead by then too.
Yeah, I think here's the answer, guys. The answer is you're asking clients to change behavior.
Right.
Just like I'm asking you to change your behavior. And so what does everybody tell me? We don't need 12-4-2. We'll do 6-2-1. Or we'll do
right.
Quarterly.
Right.
right?
Yeah.
So of course they're going to laugh because it sounds like a lot. Just like it sounds like a lot to you. So that's one thing. The other thing is every time you've called them in the past, there's been a specific reason. Right? You called them because you wanted them to sell something or buy something or money was coming due or what it... So now they think, you're going to call me 12 times a year to sell me something. And I don't want 12 calls where you're trying to sell me something. So I don't value those calls.
So no, this guy doesn't think we're going to sell him anything. He just says, I don't need it. And it's not, because he knows it's not a sales call.
Right. But he doesn't value what you have to offer as a consultant.
100% agree.
Okay. So you've got to create more value in his mind. And so...
I think the value creation is when he's dead. That's my proposition. He will not accept it during his lifetime.
No, I mean, look, you're going to get one of those people, but you're not going to get a number of them. When I hear that you have a number of clients that have all decided they don't want to hear from you, you've got a couple of things going on. You haven't sold it, all right? And or they don't see any value in what you have offered in the past. Now that's hard to hear, but that's for sure. Because you thought, you know, you were going to have a chance to talk to some, you know, super market genius. You talked to them as much as you could. So here's what you have to do. You have to explain, that's where the 24-month calendar can be a big help to him. And he says, well, I know all that stuff. Well, yes and no. All right? There's always something that you can do for him. You know, he doesn't think of you as a guide through family issues. So through your enthusiastically endorsed golden Rolodex, you'll have a chance to help him with his grandson who's having a drug problem. But he doesn't know that yet. So what you have to do is convince him that you want to talk monthly and that you have something to say. And do it for 6 months. And after 6 months, if you agree and we both agree that we have very little to offer, then we will go to quarterly or semi-annually or once a year. What he's saying is, I don't see you as anything more than a place to invest, I might as well be doing business with Fidelity. Okay? So that's a dangerous situation. That should be a trigger that you have a potential issue. Okay? You got a potential issue where this guy could be when he gets annoyed enough at the fees that he's paying.
That's a tough thing to swallow. In that situation, and I'm sure Vinny ran into that situation, but I ran into a similar situation, and you know, what you're saying, Rob, is a knife in any of his guts, a knife into my guts, because you're right in some situations, and it sucks. I mean, the truth hurts, but I have had the same situation, so I'm now in my third month of calling some of these people. The other day, a guy said, I didn't want to do this, and you know, you realize, we've got to talk to you every month. You know, on this day, I actually have you in the schedule that we talked about 3 months ago. And here's what we talked about 3 months ago, here's what we talked about last month, here's what we just talked about today. I'm going to summarize that for you. And he's like, you know what? There is some value. I mean, I'm glad that you're calling. What day are we going to talk again? And now he's all of a sudden into it. So I'm just continuing forging ahead with these people that are important and trying to bring something to them. You know, sometimes it's hard to bring something forward. It takes work to kind of plan ahead of time to do this. But I'm in my third month of calling.
Yeah, I think.
And I have it on the schedule, and I'm them doing it. Vinny, you had the same problem, right?
I really only ran into it maybe once or twice, and they still agreed to it, because the way I positioned it was, listen, I said, what this is all going to translate to is that there's a specific time once a month that you and I will be on the phone together. Sometimes I'm going to have topics to cover with you. Sometimes it's just going to be checking in with you, depending on what's going on. But the best part of this is that you and I will never be that far adrift from one another, and we'll always be on the same page in terms of what's going on in the market and how it's impacting your account. And I said, I think there's a lot of value for that, and I think it's important that we try this. And I haven't had anybody say no.
Yeah, I said,
I've got 50 scheduled, and they're on, and nobody's asked to get out either. I think they all, for the most part, enjoy it.
This is,
you know, I have people bump it. You know, a couple, there's one or two that bump it like every other month or something like that, but they understand the concept of it. And then, and some of them, there was one or two that were a little hesitant, and I said, well, let's try it. Give me a couple of months with it, and then we can revisit it. And all, the couple of that were in that category stayed on, so.
Yeah, I think, what I want to be clear, this is only one person who flatly said, I don't want to do it. So my response is, I'm going to do it anyway, just on the same pattern. And when he recognizes the pattern, he'll either buy in or he won't. But my point is, I think he's rigid enough as a former CFO that he may not change, but it's okay because he will die and his wife will work with Kay.
Maybe.
Right.
Well, I think the other thing is we haven't really, sometimes we haven't presented it in the way that we should. I think that we have to have a better sort of, not a script, but the way that we present it, because it is new to everybody. And sometimes I think, you know, we sort of at the end of the meeting say, okay, well, now we're just going to call you every month, you know, and they're sort of taken aback, like, where's this coming from, you know, and I think we have to be better at saying, you know, this is the service model that we're using for all of our important clients, and you happen to be one of them. I think we have to be better at saying it that way.
After the beginning of the meeting, I mean, we talk about this week,
yeah,
week two,
yeah,
or three.
We start out with that.
We hired a consultant. You're very important to us. And here's how we're going to approach meetings going forward. And, you know,
and when we've done that, it's always been accepted with enthusiasm when we've been better at it. You know, saying it that way.
Well, how did we get to the? I know that you've got two or three people to whom you email. How did those? Because those I didn't even know about till today. How did that arrive?
Well, because one of them is a guy who works in Germany and London and everywhere else. So I can't get a hold of him on the phone very regularly. So he's a very young guy, and he just asked that, you know, we keep in touch via email, if that's quarterly. And then one of them is the Schneiders, and I spoke to her, and she said, just with both of our schedules, both of us working, you know, we can't commit to a set time where we're both available for a call. So that's how that one ended up like that.
Yeah,
as opposed to monthly contact, they just couldn't commit to a phone call, you know, time for a phone call.
Well, I think that's kind of what the guys are telling us, is we have to get them to be compliant and to buy in, or am I misunderstanding?
Well, I do. I've only had one out of the 40 that I'm doing, or 35 or something right now. I've only had really one say no. So, I mean, one out of 40 is an outlier. And now he's coming around saying, you know what, it is nice to talk to you once a month.
It's important how you introduce it, Trent. You know, I think if you make it a key part of the particular meeting that you're talking to them, say, listen, I want to talk to you about a change in the way I'm doing this. And the reason you're going to be involved in this is because this is going to impact my best clients. And people like to know that.
A positive change, right.
Yeah, and I want to know the service level. I think we do a pretty good job of staying in touch with one another, but I'd like to formalize it a little bit more. And that was a phrase I use every time, too.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, there are some clients that we really want to do this with, and then there might be others who are sort of like, I hope he kind of says no, because we don't want to talk to him every month. You know?
But then, why do we have this client, right?
I know, you're right. That's
if we did that, I'd have no I have no clients and just go fishing with my kids. I mean, it is work, and I mean,
yeah.
That must be cool to make those relationships too, though. Over
yeah,
time.
It does. It does.
No, but we have to do
that. Yeah, like Ray the other day, he sent me his report, okay, and I sent it to him yesterday because I thought our call was today. And he's like, oh, the call's next week, but I can move it. I said, no, let's stick with our call. I go, the report just came to you. I used to dread kind of talking to him, but now he's home. He's just like, and he works more than anybody I know. He just looks forward to the call and he's just become a whole different client because of it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you know, it's like, it opens the doctor.
I have to be presenting it.
It has to be very positive, like anything.
Yeah.
It has to be positive. You know, and I mean, I guess, Rob, people use the ball at times, right? You know, one step forward, two back sometimes. I guess we're back to discussions of things we were talking about 7 or 8 weeks ago. It happens, right? But
I'm afraid of someone that you're looking to raise the service levels for my most important clients. It's very hard for most people to not want to be included in that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. People want to be in a club.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So
we're working on
it. It's a good thing to read. It's a good thing to kind of go back and look, you're changing a lot of behavior, and whenever you do that, you need to go and revisit it. Remember the five steps, curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. You don't get to enthusiasm, and not everybody gets to enthusiasm at the same time.
Right.
So anytime you have a team, you have the advantage of that, because some people will get there early, and then you get to hear why they're enthusiastic. If
right.
you're by yourself, you're getting there only on your own timeline. So the truth is, once you've become enthusiastic about the process and you see the benefits and the deepening of the relationship and how much better it is for the client, you don't want to leave anybody out if you care about them. If you don't care about them, then that's a very clear sign you should reassign them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think you don't want to have, and we are in this world of, I mean, you're only as good as your worst client and how they think about you, right? So that we don't want to have someone out there that's like, I don't respect what this person does, but he's going to advantage the money when I'm gone. That should be a clear, you know, clear conversation. Now, I'm in that situation with a couple clients as well, but I still have the conversations with them, and we get the wife involved. So here's how we're going to, you know, I'm really, really trying to get the wife involved, and I make it very clear. That's why I was late to this call. I had somebody here who's like, what happens? And we went through the planning of what happens when she's not here. You know, we're now set up. Now I have to take her to the, you know, we have everything set up. But she's like, what is the community foundation? I'm not so sure about it. So I'm going to take her up and meet with the community foundation people again and bring her attorney along. So there's always, people want to know what that picture looks like. I mean, I told the guy yesterday in the second call, I was like, you know, I actually never really read through your trust. I read through your trust. And when you just, you know, your disposition of your assets, don't even add, I don't know what your attorney did, but don't even add up to 100%. You're giving away 92% of your assets. I don't know where the other 8% go. Because that can't be true. That can't be true. I said, well, you know, here are the articles, looking in the document. And he came back to me, and he said, you're right. I signed this document to give away 90% of my assets. I don't know where the other 8% goes. I said, yeah, it's like it's vague. And, I think that you just got to create conversations and have the conversations with people. You know, this is not, the more you work with them, you either like them or you reassign them. I mean, if you don't like them, you know, it's got to be more than like, hey, what do you do? Hey, you're cool, you're great. So like, look, you know, it's got to be more than investments. If you're just focusing just on investments, and you think that that's why they're calling you, that's not what people are really looking for. I really think if you do, I think focusing on the investments is 20% of it. I think there's 80% of it is making sure that they're taken care of, their family's taken care of, and making sure you're there for their kids and their grandkids to do what they're expecting to happen. And the smartest people I know, some of them have had a very messed up estate plan in place. So no one's really taken the time to step back and say, well, let's talk about how this works. get all your accounts to different places. Let's talk about how that's going to work when you're not here.
My constructive takeaway on this is I really think that rather than talking to Mr. Jones, we need to be looking at Mrs. Jones when we're making this discussion, because Mr. Jones is a former CFO. Mr. Jones is unlikely to confer upon us what Trent is describing. But I think that when they get home, Mrs. Jones is going to say, Mr. Jones, we need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, she needs to be in the meeting.
No, she's in the meeting.
Well, then. Right. Exactly. Then it should be easy. But I'm always skeptical of people that say, oh, I'm like, oh, you know, does Peter want to get involved? Oh, no, she doesn't. I handle all that. I'm like, you know, that's a good one here. But how's that work when you're not here? You know, you drive up and down the Garden State Parkway every day. Nothing, you know, there's not nothing short of 10 accidents on the Garden State Parkway every day. I mean, what happens if you're not here? She needs to be involved in this. This is important. This is your family business. This is your life. This is the future for your family. And I think, I don't care how wealthy you are when you hear that. You know, it's like you realize, it's like, yeah, I do need other people involved. But I think we can talk about this for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I think you're right. We can go
in. Yeah. We need to
I think the faster you have, I mean, I've obviously set, I'm all, you know, the further you get into this, further than anybody, I just think the easier it becomes. So you have to be enthusiastic about what you do. Enthusiastic about the relationship and bringing things to the table other than just investments. You know, save your investment review. It's like, I don't want to have an investment review once a month, especially in the last 3 months. Can we postpone the investment talk? You know, I'm getting mad now. Can we just not talk about the investments right now? Let's talk about, you know, selling this house in Massachusetts. I have a house in Maine. Like, you know, I'm thinking about becoming a Florida resident. I mean, there's so many other things to talk about.
That's a great
idea.
Yeah,
I mean,
when I started doing these, I felt like I had to go over returns every call.
Yeah.
And I was like, after a few months, I was like, I'm the only one bringing this up. They don't ask. They want to talk about other stuff. So.
Right. And what is your, you know, like, okay, I have my house to pay it off. What about your kids? You know, your kids. You're going to give your kids, that's another thing, you're going to give your kids, you know, millions of dollars, yet they have a mortgage on their house at 6.5%. Why aren't we focusing on figuring out ways to reduce their, and they're struggling, and then they're calling you for a check every once a year. Why don't we figure out ways to reduce them calling you for a check and figure out a way to reduce their interest? I mean, there's so many things. You got to be, the power of full engagement is the best book I've read this year. And you got to be fully engaged. And I think, I don't know, that's just my take on it. I mean, I think the more you do it, I mean, there's a million reasons not to do anything. There's a lot of reasons to do something. You just got to start developing relationships. And none of us have the relationship as deep as we think we do. I don't care who you are. And you know, we love our clients so much more than they will ever love us back, hands down. That's proven over and over. I mean, that's just. But
yeah,
the more you're involved,
one of us learned this the hard way last week or this week. Well, I guess
it can happen that way for anybody, right? I mean,
yeah.
So it just happens, right? People, you know, people respect what you do, but those reasons come up. They're not always rational in their reasons, but they find another, or, you know, something else that they want. They think is, you know, more interesting to them. But it's harder for those people to leave if you know everything about their financial life, where things are going, you know, where the gold coins are buried, you know, which kid they're worried about, what sensor clauses are in their trust, make sure we take care of that kid. I mean, there's so many things, you know, how we keep that kid from his fourth divorce, to keep money and going to his family and not another new wife. There's so many things we do outside of just investing. So, I don't know. I'm sorry. I was late to the call. I apologize. I'm jumping in and just talking. So,
Trent, that's a great, it's a great comment. And so, think about putting, you know, the first question on your agenda all the time is, I've got my agenda. You've got your agenda. What's on your agenda that you want to talk about, and what's not on your agenda that you think about? You don't worry about it, maybe, but you're thinking about it. And don't just accept, oh, I'm all set. Say, you know, there are issues. There's a family. Every family has a family issue, whether it's a problem or an uncle or, you know, think about that. Would you like to talk about that? Is there anything that you could do about that to make that issue easier to deal with or better? And they go, wow, okay, yeah, my brother Jim, right?
Yeah.
And brother Jim comes up and turns out that you and your other brother are taking care of them, of brother Jim, but if something happens to both brothers, then brother Jim isn't really taken care of, and he's back being homeless again. So when, you know, when, Mr. Knapp, are you going to deal with that issue and actually formalize it and make it something that you don't worry about? Well, that's a true case here with me, right? I do every month, you know, agenda, da-da-da. But I haven't dealt with my problem with brother Jim in a formal way. I pay his rent, take care of his car, and I do those things. But if I'm not here, I know Marsha would do it, but what if Marsha and I aren't here? And Brother Rick isn't, you know, so Jim has no real way of feeling safe other than the fact that we promised that we're going to be there for him.
So, I think that one observation right there is worth the entire phone call. That is probably the most succinct description of how to address the issues that are unspoken that I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
a way to
people
open up too, right?
Right. And when they tell you those issues and you come up with a good solution, just think how much better both of you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you feel like you really helped him and he thinks you really helped him. I mean, now you're both seeing value in what you're doing. And you know, nobody talks about the family issue, you know, or the multiple family issues.
Rob, what you just did is you elevated the advisor from being advisor to being the priest or the rabbi, and that's what we should aspire to.
Yeah, you're really being a life coach.
Yeah.
Now, the first life coach that actually created the whole idea of life coaching was a financial advisor. And he found it wasn't rewarding enough to just manage the assets.
Who was that?
It was the original, I don't know, I forget his name, but he wrote a couple of books on the subject of life coaching, and he was a financial advisor. I hired a life coach for him, and I had her for about 10 years, and that she took that course and then threw the whole thing, and it turned out the guy was a financial advisor originally. So anyway, that's where the industry is going. Okay, you can be at the cutting edge of it by asking these questions and understanding your real role. Because there's nobody in a better position to ask those questions than to be of real value. And then when you get to be a little older, like I am, or, you know, you guys are, you have the ability, especially when you've coached hundreds of people through the same issues, you can then really be of help. And that's where that enthusiastically endorsed golden Rolodex comes in. Not only can you coach them through it, but you have the people to refer to them. And these are people that are obligated to you to do an exceptional job for whoever you send them to.
Yeah.
So it's a virtuous circle that you create of real value. So you can see the depth of it, and then, you know, but, you know, when you first get started, you're like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And then you realize, oh, my God, What if you can get to this stuff? And that's the part that everybody loves about, I mean, the people that have been doing it for several years is they just say, I've never had relationships like I have with my clients now. It's so much more rewarding a job.
And they're not perceived. They're like really deep relationships that aren't just perceived by one side. They become very, very rooted into the relationship of the two. And that's the key to everything. I think I have a great relationship. And I have clients still from that I know that this is turning into even better clients. But, you know, they didn't always have this level of service. And, you know, it's interesting because they're like, wow, you just talked about something we talked about last year. I'm not sure I talked about this in a theory, but now I'm actually implementing it. And that form where we're the client profile form that I'm constantly updating in meetings, I'm always finding out something new. And guess what? I mean, and Sheila's doing a great job. It's like in the file. Next time I open it up, I'm like, oh, you know, Mary, Sue, Kelly, oh, new grandchild, Emily. I know their names. I know what the social security is. I'm sitting in there so much more powerful because I don't care how great our databases are. They're terrible. We can't keep that information. We can't keep our information electronically like we'd like to. So the client profile form has allowed me to take notes that next month I don't have to re-ask again. What's your pension? What's your social security? You know, I know that you have a daughter in North Carolina. You know, what's your grandson's name? I know it. I'm building the family tree. There's no question. I know their names. I know what they do. I know what schools they go to. I know, you know, you're building out. I mean, I think it's just it's an amazing tool.
Trent?
But you're not going to get there unless you start filling out the client profile sheet with them.
Here's my question. When you fill out the client profile sheet while you're in the meeting, do you type it up and put it in the client notes, or do you have Sheila do that, or Emily? How does it get in there?
Emily has no time for that. Sheila's been helping me with that. Sometimes it doesn't get typed right in there. I mean, you know, I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 files on my desk that I've got to go type the follow-up notes to.
Okay, but, so basically...
But it doesn't leave that file. It does not leave that physical file. So let's say it doesn't get typed up right away.
Okay.
I make it all... 30 days go by. Next month, I pick up David Hamilton's file, and I'm like, all right, here's where his grandchildren are. Here's what's going on. You know, he's selling a house in Massachusetts, buying a house in Maine. I know the town. I know what he's doing. I know the dates of the closings. Next month, like, how do you remember that? You can't remember all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to at least take the notes and have them at least in pen and paper. That's what the files do.
Oh, yeah.
But where are they next month?
They're in this thing that I'm writing on right now.
Okay.
You're right. I don't have the time or the opportunity to transfer them from here to there. So I've got to,
you have to have them in the file. You just have to have them in the file. If they're in the file, you know where they are. I mean, the client's name, you know, there's no thinking about it next month. So that's what the files are, that's how strong they are. So.
Perfect.
It's not like we're moving backwards a little bit. Can we talk a little bit, we don't have a lot of time, about sort of the content of the week? So, I don't think we got into it. You guys didn't get into any of the content yet, did you?
No, not yet.
No.
Mm-hmm. 42 minutes in.
I'm actually going to leave in, you know, like 4 minutes or something, but
okay.
No problem. It's what questions did you have, Trent? What, you know, quickly thinking about the leadership in week 11.
You know, I'm still stuck on the community involvement and we're working on that, but I think I can table that till next time we talk, but I'm still not so sure about, you know, converting difficult prospects into clients real quick, because I think that's something we all face no matter where we are.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
think of a difficult client or a difficult prospect. It's difficult because they're hard to close. They can't make up their mind because I think, you know, that's the part that you first have to decide. What makes them difficult? Right? Are they difficult because they're too loyal to the other guy? You know, and unfounded loyalty? I mean, some people aren't really prospects because they are very happy where they are. That's a suspect. A prospect is somebody that fits, you like them, they like you, you trust them, they trust you, they listen to you, and you listen to them, and they have the capability and they're willing to act within a reasonable amount of time. Right? That's a real prospect. Some people are missing one of those ingredients. They don't have the money, they're not a prospect. Right. They're too loyal to an existing relationship, an unfounded loyalty. Meaning, it's your old fraternity brother, he's about to retire in 2 years, or whatever. He's not really very good. And they're constantly complaining. That's why they're talking to you. But you can't pull the trigger. So, you need to load the boat on the side of, Kevin, you know what I'm talking about when I say the Franklin Close?
Yep.
Yeah, Franklin Close is, you know, you put the pluses and the minuses and see which side is heavier and then make a decision based on the implementation of that.
Right.
So how do you load the boat on, in this case, making the pluses a lot more than the minuses? The minuses, he has loyalty to his friend. All right, that's the minus. The pluses are that he likes you, he sees you as more professional, but you can't see enough of a difference. That's where you use a 90-day free look.
Right.
So you understand the 90-day free look. You basically give him 90 days of the true experience with the folder and the scheduler and the agenda and the whole thing. It's just kind of a, you know, get in the
dry run.
Here's the BMW, here's the Mercedes for the weekend, take it. Once you drive it, I know you're going to like it. Then he comes back after 90 days, you do two on the phone, and then the third one in person. And you sit in front of them and say, what do you think? So you do this with all your clients? You've given me more in 3 months than my other guy has given me in 3 years. So yes, of course I'm moving. Okay? So that's loading the boat with service.
You don't do that again. Right, you're the right size. So I know you have to go. I have one other question. Yeah. I feel I don't want to load you with my answer. Yeah, you have a relationship, and we all have them. You know, I have $10 million with somebody, but they have, you know, $10 million with Goldman. They have $10 million with, you know, Bank of America. They have $10 million with JP. They have $10 million everywhere.
Yep.
You know, my experience,
is
you're just wasting your time to get that other stuff together. Some people are just going to be that way. But you know, how do you get them from like, all right, I'm a vendor, to either become a client or you just say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore?
I would suggest that what you're doing with Supernova, what we spent a good deal of time talking about today, will change the relationship. You become a friend. A trusted advisor, a life coach rather than another vendor who's competing for performance.
Right.
All right. That's what theoretically you might be now. And instead, you become the true consultant. The other thing I would suggest doing would be to do a composite return. Never be just you. You've got a service now that does a composite of all the accounts. So you want to get that and deliver that to them every time.
Right.
So that you're the overall, you're the risk manager.
Right. Aggregator. You're the aggregator and you handle it all for him. Right.
The other key is that he who owns the plan owns the client.
Right.
So if you can get him to do a financial plan, then you own him.
Right.
All right.
There you go.
So those are the two best ways to consolidate assets that I can think of. And that's why we said every client we're going to do business with has a multi-generational planning, 12-4-2, and plus rapid response. So we're differentiating ourselves, we're getting control, we're owning the client. Okay?
Great.
Next time let's talk about leadership, which really comes down to the A word, which is accountability. And the more I teach Supernova, the more accountability becomes the key to implementation of all the nuances of Supernova. I mean, this is good, and this is very helpful, and we talked it out really well today, I think.
Yeah.
But it isn't accountability just to the leader. I want you guys to think about accountability to each other and creating bilateral contracts within your organization. So two people are accountable. So say, for example, you each one of you has a role and responsibility in the five-star model.
Right.
You're responsible and accountable to the leader, but I want you to be accountable and responsible to another member of your team.
Yeah.
All right? So two people are accountable to each other. It's too much to ask the leader to hold the whole team accountable. Not fair. So you can hold the leader responsible, and the leader can hold you responsible. The director of planning can hold the director of implementation accountable, and vice versa. So I'd like you to talk about that and think about that, and what's the advantage of that? Obviously, the advantage is, like with any kind of accountability, whether it's to a personal trainer, to a friend, to go biking, to a partner, in anything that you do, it helps tremendously when you have an agreement in writing between two parties that agree to help each other adhere to their best behavior, best practices. Okay? So that's your homework. Okay?
Good.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Rob, can we stay on the call if you drop?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just leave the
frame
on.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
So,
Trent?